with you, and good to be able to bring the message this evening. I do want to, and I don't know if Mike will have any announcement on this, but I do know that I talked to Mom earlier, and Carl McCraddock is not doing very good whatsoever, and they've, I don't know if they have yet or not, but they're talking about taking him off life support, so really keep that family in your prayer. They really need our prayers right now, so just keep them in your prayers. This evening, we're going to look at the lesson this evening I've picked is the precious cornerstone. The precious cornerstone. You know, there are many references to Christ, you know, as the stone. And I want us to look, we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 4 through 8. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he believes in him and will not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone. In verse 8, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, for they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. So I want us to look at tonight, we're going to break down these verses a little bit, but there's many references to Christ as the stone. You know, David, in 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 2, David declared, "The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my rock." He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." Also, Isaiah prophesied the stone to be laid in Zion. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am the one who has laid a foundation in Zion, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not be made in haste." Also, Romans 9, verse 33. Romans 9, verse 33, as it is written, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." Also, Paul declared that Christ is the chief cornerstone. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. Ephesians 2 and verse 20, "Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone." And then Paul also declared, "As you come to him," in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4 there, as we just read, 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 4, "As you come to him," it doesn't refer to us becoming a Christian, just the constant approach for renewing our strength and where our help comes from. Let's discuss Christ. Christ, the chief cornerstone. He is a living stone. And this is coming out of verse 4, 1 Peter chapter 2. Living means active. He lives in us. When we see stones on the ground, they don't move unless they're moved by force. Christ is not a dead stone. Christ is not a dead stone. He is a living stone, active. He is a he's energy, he's life. He has been raised to die no more. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last, and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades." Also, Peter confessed him as the Son of the living God. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16. Matthew 16 and verse 16. Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, Son of the living God. You know, we too, we make the same confession before we are baptized. We make that confession. And the next thing I want to talk about, Christ also said that he gives living water. He gives living water. John chapter 4 and verse 10. John chapter 4 and verse 10. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Also, Christ is the living bread. He is the living bread. John chapter 6 and verse 51. John chapter 6 and verse 51. "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Christ also speaks words of life. John chapter 6 and verse 63 and verse 68. John chapter 6, verse 63 and verse 68. Verse 63, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." Now if you go on down to verse 68, "Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.'" Also, Christ was rejected by men. He was rejected by men. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4b. When we don't obey His word, when we don't obey Him, we reject Him. Therefore, there are those who don't even know who Christ is and what He did for us. God's word must be handled rightfully. People choose to reject Him, but they could also turn around and choose to follow Him. And they could do that at any point in time. Christ was chosen by God. He was chosen by God. God sent His Son to be our Savior. He sent His Son to be our Savior and die on the cross for our sins. This was God's plan, and His plan was perfect. His plan was perfect. This was God, like I said, this was God's plan. This stone that we're talking about, He became head of the church. He became head of the church, and also God chose Him and sent Him into the world. And He also fulfilled His mission. Christ is precious in God's sight. He is precious in God's sight. God regards Him as worthy of honor. He recognizes value. You know, there's contrast on how God counts His Son and how man counts Him. Jesus is worthy of honor, but do we show Him the honor that He deserves? And probably not as we should. Probably not as we should. Jesus gave His life for us, and we should give our life to God and do His will as Jesus did. He followed through with that. God knew the importance of His Son, and we should too. Next thing I want to discuss is Christ, the chief cornerstone in the building. A cornerstone suggests a bond of union, strength, protection, permanence. Christ united both Jew and Gentile in one body. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 18 through 22. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 18 through 22. "For through Him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone." Verse 21, "In whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In Him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." When we come together or meet on Sundays or anytime we come together, we are the body. We are the church. Christ is head of the church. We should be thankful to be called the body or the saints. We are God's family, And what a blessing it is to be part of His family. You know, technology has advanced and allowed us, allowed our brothers and sisters who can't worship with us yet in person to still be with us live. And we can be thankful for that. Because the thought is that maybe one day we can come together and meet together again as a whole. But like I said, they are still part of our congregation. But we can be thankful for that technology that we have. You know, the spiritual house of which Christ is the cornerstone is the church. It is the church. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. If I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. This is an example that we have for us to follow. We must not allow false doctrine to creep in, because it happens. God's word is truth, and that's what we stand on. The spiritual house is also made up of lively or living stones. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5a there. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5a. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We too must be active in the church. He doesn't want us to sit and be idle. You know, we may have heard, you know, idle hands are the devil's work. Some of us may have heard that saying before. And there is truth in that. We must be God's hands and His feet. We must be His hands and feet and see what we can do for others. You know, also the spiritual house, the church, has in it a holy priesthood. A holy priesthood. Holy means set apart, different from the world. Under the Mosaical law, the priests were of the Levitical tribe, and the people offered their sacrifices through them. Every Christian is a priest today. Every Christian is a priest today and can offer three things. Number one, he can offer their own spiritual sacrifices. Number one, our bodies. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The second thing is our worship. Worship. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Through Him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. Our worship must be approved by God and not man. We want our worship to be acceptable to God. And then the third thing, good deeds. Good deeds. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16. Hebrews 13 and verse 16. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. When we do good, it pleases God. Pleasing God should be very important to each and every one of us. Spiritual sacrifices are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. John 14 and verse 6. John 14 and verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It must be done through Christ. The third thing this evening I want to discuss is Christ, the chief cornerstone to the believers and non-believers. 1 Peter chapter 2, and this covers verses 7 and 8. 1 Peter 2 verses 7 and 8 there. So Christ is precious. Christ is precious. The preciousness is available only to those that believe. Christ will never be a cause of shame. The individual whose confidence is fixed on fixed on shall never have an occasion to be shamed. The shame is when we are separated from God because of sin. Now, to the unbelievers, Christ is a stone of stumbling. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 23. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. You know, unbelievers, they stumble and only hurt themselves. They stumble and hurt themselves. They just don't know enough about Christ and what he came to do and what he continues to do. The non-believer must deny self first and then take up his cross daily, just like we do, just like us. There are consequences for non-believers, and we definitely do not want to be found in that category. Our home is in heaven. Our home is in heaven if we obey God and his commands. It's scary for those who are outside of Christ. The blessing is to be in Christ, being found faithful. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. Ephesians 5 and verse 2. And walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. When we walk with God, everything is right in the world. When we walk with God, everything is right in the world. But if we jump ahead of God, nothing is right. If we jump ahead of God, we walk with God. When we must keep in step with the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. Ephesians 2 and verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Jesus' blood continually washes us clean as we strive to do the will of God, and we can repent when we have done wrong. Also, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17. Ephesians 3 and verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. We must be rooted and grounded in love. Christ was all about love, and he showed it, and he proved it. How could, you know, sometimes we think, how could he love me, a sinner? How could he love me, a sinner? Well, that's how deep his love for us is. We can't fathom the love that he has for us. He loves each and every one of us the same way. Many, many times, the love is not returned. And that's where the problem is. The love is not returned. Christ willfully died on the cross for each and every one of us. It's up to us to respond to his love, to that love that he showed us. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, Ephesians 2 and verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The world we live in is corrupt and will try to bring us down. We must be strong and let the Lord guide us in all that we do. God wants us to grow in every aspect of life, mentally, physically, spiritually. But when we become a Christian, we are a babe. When we become a Christian, we are a babe in Christ. And babies, they need milk. And the milk is the Word. But then we keep growing as long as we continue to study and learn from God's Word. But sometimes there are those that stay in that babe in Christ state of mind. They're just okay with what they know. And that's we need to learn as much as we can. Our duty as Christians is to learn and to edify, build up one another. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Also in Hebrews 10 and verse 24 and 25. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. In closing, Christ is our precious cornerstone. He is our precious cornerstone. We have a strong foundation. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There's no other foundation. This foundation will never fall unless we fall away from it. We have a perfect foundation. And then the second thing, if we really put trust in God, we will never be shamed. Let us be strong and courageous as we strive to do God's will. You know, it's easy as a Christian when we come together as a church, as a congregation, and to be around each other. But our real challenge is outside these walls. The real challenge is there. Let us make a difference in the world and show the world what God can do for them. This evening, the lesson is yours. If you haven't become a child of God, haven't put Christ on in baptism, or if you are a Christian and you've struggled in your daily walk, whatever your need is, go ahead and make it be made known. We stand and sing the invitation song.